Well, good morning, and glad that you are here. Glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning, whether it's here on campus or online. And just thank you so much. And if you're a guest here in person or online, we'd love to connect with you. For those of you that are here, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out. At the end of the service, we'll have offering plates near the exits as you leave. You'll be able to place that there, and we'd love to know more about you, connect with you. You can also go online to sbcr.org, and there's a link there that says I'm new, and you can click that and leave a little bit of information, and we just enjoy getting to know our guests and visitors and find out if there's any way that we can serve you. And so thank you for doing that. Yes, I do realize that here this morning you may be a little surprised. We have our Christmas decorations that our ladies do such a good job with. It is up a little early this year. That's because I'm starting a series called Born. Yes, I'm starting a Christmas series already. Hopefully you're not too offended by that, but we will be thankful for Jesus, okay? We can still be thankful in the midst of this and celebrate Thanksgiving and all that God has done for us and to provide salvation. Anyway, looking forward to beginning that series this morning. I need to update you or tell you about a few things that are happening or coming up. First of all, tonight at 4 o'clock, we are having our pray and go. We've been doing this the last several weeks. We're trying to make the most of the best of good weather while we still have it. I know a little bit rainy this morning. The forecast, and we know we can trust that, the forecast is that it will be clear this afternoon, be a pretty afternoon. So 4 o'clock, and for those of you that may not know, we'll meet here in front. We usually gather under the drive-through area there. We divide up in a few small teams, and then we go and just go and pray over houses in our community. So I hope that you'll make a plan to come and be with us and just be out and about in our community. We live a little door hanger bag on each house that we go by, and we'd love to have you. So that's at 4 o'clock. Also, we are continuing to collect our Thanksgiving food box items. I know many of you have taken sticky notes or taken lists of items to bring. Hopefully you're able to bring those this morning. If not, bring those by the church this afternoon. We may go ahead and stick our box outside, and you can just deposit that in the box in case somebody's not here, but one of us probably be around much of the afternoon, later this afternoon. So bring that by and just leave that, and we're going to begin putting all that those boxes together, making preparations, and then looking forward to delivery tomorrow. If you want to help with that delivery process, you can contact Pastor Jonathan and let him know. That'll be taking place mostly tomorrow morning, but I believe there are some afternoon drop-offs and that sort of thing. So we'd love to have you help with that in any way that you would like, but please bring those items today as we'll go finish up the shopping of whatever items were not left there to complete those boxes. The last thing is I want to give you a heads up, a reminder. At the end of our service, we're going to take up our regular tithes and offerings, but also as a part of that, towards the end of our service, we're going to show you a video about Arkansas Baptist Children's Home and the ministry that happens and take place through that great ministry. And so it's a thank you video shot from their perspective, and you're going to see all sorts of different ministries represented, different things that they do, be it children's home or foster care, counseling ministries that they do. And so as you get an opportunity to give today, I'll give you some more instructions about that toward the end. So we're going to pray, and we're going to sing unto the Lord and look forward to what He has in His Word for us today. So let me pray. God, You are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank You for Your love and affection toward us. And I pray, God, that everything that we say and do today would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, as we begin to turn our attention toward Christmas and the sending of You, Your Son, Jesus, to us, I pray that, God, even in that, we would be thankful for so great a salvation. Thank You for the Messiah. And, Lord, we love and praise You. We thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our sins and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Jesus, write on my my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Amen. You may be seated. Becca and I would like to share with you a song as we think not only about this season of thanks, but we think about also the gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ and how through Him truly all the blessings flow. And so the words are going to be on the screen this morning, and we want to invite you that as you maybe you get a feel for the song, you can join us. But listen to these words as we give praise to God for all that He has blessed us with, especially in His Son Jesus.
What gift of love could I offer to a king? What weight or worth could be held within my offering? When He alone is worthy. A glory song is inscribed upon my heart, this treasure held in an alabaster jar I break to bring Him all the glory. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All creatures here below. What sacrifice could be equal to His own? The cross of Christ has declared that there is not I owe. Yet I know I owe Him all. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. God from whom all blessings flow. Our Father God, the infinite, the matchless King, magnificent, the living Christ, the servant Son, the prophesied, the saving One, the Holy Ghost, gift from above, the faithful friend, the seal of love. This life, this heart, this song to Him, my all in all, my everything. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye. Heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Sing with us.
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy
Amen. Well, thank God because all blessings flow from Him. Amen. Well, again, I am looking forward to this morning beginning a series that I'm calling Born. And over the next several weeks, for a 5-week series here, we are going to focus on Christmas and the Christmas story. And so, along the way, we're going to look and think about the Christmas story in a variety of different ways, and we're going to spend a couple weeks focused on prophecy and that fulfillment and the implications of that. We'll spend time talking about the announcement of Jesus and the actions caused by Jesus' coming. And then December 20th, the Sunday before Christmas, we'll look at that birth narrative and the arrival of Jesus and what it means for us. And so I'm excited about that. This morning, I want to preach to you a message that I've titled The Anticipation. So it's the anticipation of Jesus. And as we think about this morning, we're going to look at this a little bit differently. It may not be, to some of you, it may not be the most Christmas-themed story, but I want to talk about the prophecy. And specifically, I want us to think about if 2020 has been a year of anything, it's been a year of struggling with what can we trust. Can we trust the experts? Can we trust the news? Stay with me, okay? I'm not trying to make a political point here, okay? We're gonna seat this in the context of Scripture. But what can we trust? I mean, even a moment ago, as we started, I took probably an unfair jab at forecasters and weather people, making their forecasts and their predictions. And can we trust that? Can we trust the news? Can we trust social media? Can we trust masks? Can we trust tests? Can we trust our leaders? Can we trust political parties? Can we trust policies? What can we trust in the year of 2020? And I wonder, for some of you, if we're not in a state or a position where we're sitting around wondering, what is it that is factual? What is it that I can actually know, that I can believe, that I can trust? It's difficult. It's hard. Because it seems like everywhere that you look, everybody has their agenda. What they're trying to achieve and accomplish. And can you even trust that? Well, if that's where you are this morning, wondering, what can I trust? I have a resounding answer for you. And you can trust God and His Word. And we're going to settle there, okay? That's the driving thrust of the message this morning. I've already given it to you, but we're going to settle there. But the way I want to get there, the way I want to focus our time and our attention, is I want us to look and see some observations about the anticipation of the coming of Christ that we see through the pages of Scripture from Genesis to its fulfillment in the New Testament. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And again, this is going to be a little bit different, which has kind of maybe been the norm of late of not sitting down in a specific text and walking through that. But I hope you brought your maybe your little bit of tack on your fingers so you can swipe through the pages of your Bible. We're gonna flip back and forth between the Old Testament and New Testament. And then there, if you'd prefer to follow along on the app, there on the Bible app, and that may help you. But we're going to cover a lot of ground in a lot of different places of Scripture. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, if you find your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the holy, infallible, inerrant, perfect word of God. And I pray this morning, God, that you would prove yourself faithful this morning, that God, it would be evident that we can trust you and trust your word. Hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your spirit, I pray. And God, I pray that you would be glorified in this time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, the main idea of the message this morning is this, is the Bible perfectly predicted the birth and life of Jesus. Scripture was absolutely perfect on this. And maybe fortunately for you, we're not going to walk through every one of those predictions, although we're going to take a look at many of those prophecies and their fulfillments. And so the question this morning is, do you trust God and His Word? Do you trust the Bible completely? Do you trust the Bible completely? And we're going to walk through this and we're going to see these observations. And I just want to challenge you. And really, all we're doing, there's a lot of prophecy throughout Scripture. There's prophecy about the birth of Jesus. There's prophecy about the children of Israel. There's prophecy about Jesus' return. There's prophecy about end times. All those sorts of things. Most have been fulfilled. Many are yet to come. And the Bible is batting 1,000. And this morning, we don't have the luxury to take all of our time and focus on every single one of those fulfillments and all or prophecies and then their fulfillments. And so what I want to do this morning is, as we begin to turn our eye toward Christmas and this birth narrative and this Messiah that came for our salvation, is I want to just take that little vein of Scripture and we want to trace that thread and see where there has been this prophecy and this fulfillment. Prophecy, fulfillment. And so that's going to be the pattern for the message this morning. There's going to be four major observations categories, if you will, of prophecy as it relates to Jesus. And then we're going to settle on two key ideas, two significant things that we need to grab a hold of this morning. And so, number one, Jesus' family tree was prophesied. His lineage, his heritage was perfectly prophesied. Now, as we go through this and I give you a number of examples, I want you to begin to think about, because we're going to start some 2,000 years prior to the birth of Christ. And it's going to lead all the way up to just a few hundred years prior to the birth of Christ. I want you to think about that. 2,000 years full of prophecy about Jesus and the specifics of his birth and his life and that fulfillment. And then we're going to understand how we can lean into and we can trust God and his word. And so Jesus' family was prophesied, and some of these are going to go rather quickly, a descendant of Abraham. So this was prophesied. If you look at Genesis 22, 18, and don't worry, we have a lot of these on the screen. It may be difficult if you'd be able to flip back and forth fast enough. But Genesis 22, 18, we have the prophecy. In your seed, he's talking to Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. This was given in 19th century B.C. is what historians estimate. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, this is the setting of his heritage. Notice what it says about Jesus, the son of David. There it is, the son of Abraham. So Genesis 22, they have the prophecy that the word given to Abraham, that in you all the nations will be blessed, because of his obedience. And how is that fulfilled? All nations blessed? It's fulfilled because Jesus came as the Messiah given through the heritage and lineage of Abraham. Of Abraham given through, Jesus given through the lineage of Abraham. And then B, descendant of Isaac. Genesis 21 verse 12. But God said to Abraham, he's still speaking to him, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Wherever Sarah has said to you, whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. For in Isaac your seed, that is your heritage, those that come after you, 19th century B.C. again. Then look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 34. The son of Jacob, the son of Isaac. This is the lineage of Jesus. He lays this out. The gospel writers lay this out. Give his heritage. The son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. So you see that Abraham, he's a descendant of Abraham. He's a descendant of Isaac. See, he is a descendant of Judah. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. And so this scepter, this establishment, a sign of authority is given. He says it's not going to depart from Judah. How is that fulfilled? This is given 17th century B.C., Luke chapter 3, verse 33, the physician writes there, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Pazor, the son of Judah. Okay, so here we are. We're following this, and stay with me, okay? I promise you, we're going to draw this into to some big conclusions, okay? So there's the descendant of Judah. D, the descendant of Jesse. Isaiah 11:1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. There's the descendant. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And man, there's a great, great truth to follow. A thread to watch is the term branch is used throughout the book of Isaiah. But the 4th century B.C., this prophecy was given. And then again in Luke, we see Luke 3:32, the son of Jesse, right there. The son of Obed, Boaz, Solomon, and Ishan. And so this fulfillment of this family tree, and then E, a descendant of David, setting up his kingship. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch, there's that word, of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, which he will be called, the Lord our Righteous. This is a prophecy of Jesus. And by the way, this is why some of the Jews missed Jesus' coming, missed the Messiah, because they were expecting at that time to be an earthly reign, to overthrow the Roman government and set up that. But Jesus will reign as king. It's going to be during the millennial reign where he'll come and set up a 1,000-year reign, and he'll reign as king, and he already is King of kings and Lord of lords. This prophecy in Jeremiah given the 6th century B.C. Matthew 1:1 is its fulfillment. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so here we see the first observation that we can trust God and trust His Word is the very idea that the family tree. Now, I realize to some of you go, man, some of the genealogy, and I realize this gets monotonous through your Bible reading. You get into some of those Old Testament books and it's so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so and just on and on. But the beauty of this is that in that we see the detailed family trees and all that's happening, and then we get to the New Testament and we hear the prophecy of this Messiah, and you notice the accuracy and the detail of those accounts point to its fulfillment of prophecy throughout the Old Testament. So he not only prophesies, the Word of God not only prophesies the family tree of Jesus. Number two, Jesus' varied locations were prophesied. His different locations. What do you mean by this? Well, there are two specifically we want to look at. A, he was born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, through you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. And so it's prophesied that he would come from Bethlehem in the 7th century B.C. And so now I want you to see in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through verses 7. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So notice this, Joseph and Mary were not from there. And so how is it that 700 years prior to, approximately 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, that he's going to prophesy he's going to come from Bethlehem, but the parents, if you will, are not from that area, but they go there because of a census. And so they go to, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. That's where they were to go. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And so this wonderful picture, this prophecy that he would come from Bethlehem, that's not the region they were from, but it just so happened that they would travel there due to the census, and while she is there, she would give birth. B, he was called out of Egypt. So we see that he's prophesied that he would come from Bethlehem, but that he was called out of Egypt. Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And so you may remember that Herod was upset. He was afraid a king was born. And so this is too given in 7th century B.C. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take my young child,'" talking about Jesus "and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." And then they spent some 2 years there and then left. I realize, I know this morning you didn't show up to have this history lesson of all these prophecies throughout the Old Testament. But friend, here's what I hope is happening. Every time you see a prophecy and you see its fulfillment, my hope and my prayer is as you walked in with an empty tank of trust and just not knowing, that every time you see this fulfillment, it's as if the tank is filling up a little bit. Go, man, I can trust God. I can trust His Word. And so number three, Jesus-caused reactions were prophesied. How people reacted to Him was prophesied. And so I want to look at a couple of observations here. A, wise men reacted by giving gifts fit for a king. And so we've looked at the family tree, we looked at the different locations, and now these reactions. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 6, "The multitude of camels shall come over your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord." Now, this is the 6th century B.C. It said when they come, they're going to bring these things. Now, listen to what Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 says. "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasuries. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." It's exactly what the Scripture prophesied as a reaction to the birth of Jesus would happen. B, shepherds reacted through worship. Psalm 72, verse 9, The 10th century B.C., the Bible says this, those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him. Notice those who dwell in the wilderness, they'll bow before him and his enemies will lick the dust. If you look at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, now where there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, which is, by the way, wilderness, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from there into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So these reactions, these things that are taking place as a reaction to the birth of Christ were prophesied hundreds of years before they take place. See, Herod reacted by starting a slaughter. So you see these positive things where they come and they're worshiping the king and they're praising God. But God not only prophesies those things, he prophesies this ill will, this wrongful action that Herod takes. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, the 4th century B.C., thus says the Lord, a voice was heard for Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. By the way, Ramah was approximately 8 miles, it was 8 kilometers north of Jerusalem. Rachel weeping for children, that's another picture for the children of Israel and those in that land refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Why would such a prophecy be given? Because its fulfillment in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. So all these positive things, this worship, this rejoicing, but even this slaughter being prophesied that it would come, okay? We're on the fourth observation, then we're going to draw our conclusion, okay? So hold on. Number 4, Jesus' miraculous resume was prophesied. His resume was prophesied. My heart's prayer is that as you're hearing this prophecy and its fulfillment, that your tank is being full, is filling up. A, he is the Son of God. In the 10th century B.C., Psalm 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And then we see this fulfillment in two verses I want to read to you in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. You remember this? Jesus was being baptized, and as he came up out of the water, dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Mark also tells us about this in 1:11. Mark 1:11. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. It would prophesy that the Messiah would come and he would be the very Son of God. We see that affirmation. We see that confirmation given in the New Testament. B, he is God. Not only is he the Son of God, but he himself is God. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The New Testament is going to help us to understand this significance from this prophecy of the 4th B.C. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she'll bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then finally, last one, we're going to draw our conclusion. See, he was born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they knew one another intimately is the idea. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now listen, I realize for some of you, you maybe have dozed off or been difficult, but here's been the attempt this morning. As a attorney or a lawyer standing in a courtroom trying to make the case before you of why, what can we trust in a year of 2020 full of distrust, full of what is real, what is not, what is ill will, what is has a wrong motive behind it. All of this prophecy leads us to one question, and listen, I trimmed a lot out, okay? I know some of you don't think so, but I trimmed a lot out. You ever want to have, some of you it may be fun, some of you may not, just Google prophecy and its fulfillment in the Bible. And there's so much that's out there that has already been fulfilled. But it leads us to this question, why does it matter? Why does it matter that God was absolutely in His Word, absolutely 100% correct on the family tree of Jesus, the heritage, that alone? Why? On where he came from. Why on the reactions that would happen when he did come. Why does it matter of who Jesus really is and its prophecy and fulfillment? I want to read a couple of verses to you and then conclude. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Now there's going to be, you'll look here in this first phrase, in the beginning was the Word. If you read the full context, verse 14 gives us a clear indication. This is not just alone talking about the Word of God, but it's talking about Jesus. So as we read through this, every time you see Word, I want you to think Jesus, okay? So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. And all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now let's go back and read it again, and we're going to put Jesus in. John 1:1. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, that is Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so why read that this morning? Because here's what I need you to understand. When you read your Bible and you read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Psalms and Jeremiah and the prophets, I need you to understand something, is that when you get to, you flip over to the pages to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, all that, you begin to look there, it's not like suddenly Jesus came alive. Suddenly Jesus began to exist. Jesus always has been and always will be. I need you to understand that Jesus always has been. And so this fulfillment, this prophecy pointing to Him coming from heaven to earth, living His earthly life, dying on the cross, as we walk through that King's Witness series, that Jesus came, He died, He was buried, He rose, He ascended, and He's coming again. Friends, we got to understand that Jesus always has been. He always will be. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the beginning of our salvation. We celebrate the gift that God has given in His Son Jesus in earthly form, in bodily form, so that you and I could have salvation. And John tells us that in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. That's His identity. And verse 14 says that he came and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. So as we look at this fulfillment, we can trust God and we can trust His Word. Now finish in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. If you mark or underline in your Bible, you may just underline the whole verse, but beginning here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that inspiration is? What that word means? It literally means God breathed. Now I want you to think about this. A book composed over some 2,500 years, 66 different books, 40 plus different authors. Let's just think about the 15 or 20 amount of prophecies given that we've just looked at this morning. That is a very, very, very small part of the pie, and they were 100% accurate every time. And I want to encourage you, go look at the prophecies, all of them that have been, they are 100% accurate. Dear friend, in a year of 2020, in a year that seems like a just state of unrest, and what can we trust? Dear friend, I want to encourage you, we can trust the Scripture. We can trust because 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. As the Spirit of God moved on men, the Bible says that He breathed on them and they wrote as they were inspired. And two things this morning I want to emphasize to you that we can trust. We can trust God and we can trust His Word. We can trust God and we can trust His Word. And then the day and the season ahead, as we think about Thanksgiving and we begin to turn our eyes toward Christmas, and you look around and go, man, I don't even know what news channels to turn on to try to get in accurate information. I don't know. Do I look at Twitter for my information? Where do I get all my information? All those sorts of, what can I trust? Dear friend, please hear me this morning. Trust the Word of God and the inerrancy of Scripture, that it is perfect, infallible, inerrant, inspired by God, and it is good. It is perfect for all walks of life. And if we can trust the Word of God, we certainly can trust the author. That God works all things together for good to those who love the Lord and called according to His purpose. God really does love the world that He gave His Son. God really has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. God really does give wisdom to all who call upon Him. James 1:5. God really does bless the peacemakers. Dear friend, we can trust Him and we can trust His Word. And so now, that's why it matters. What do I do with it? I want to challenge you, maybe in a way that, I don't know, maybe you've been challenged before, maybe you haven't. If we're in a state where we don't know what to find, don't know what we can trust, what to look to, then surely we can find time every single day to look and to study and to read at least the one thing that we know every day of our life we can trust. Sure, there's other things. I'm not saying there's absolutely nothing that we can trust in our world, but there's nothing that we can trust like God and His Word. And friends, we spend a lot of time searching for all kinds of truth, all kinds of information. But my challenge to you this morning, as we turn our attention toward Christmas, and we even approach this week of Thanksgiving, is I want to challenge you, won't you get in the Word? There are more resources and Bible reading plans and approaches to reading the Bible every day. Let me just be really blunt with you. If you're not in the Bible every day, apart from maybe physically not being able to read or something like, it's just because you don't want to. There are Bibles that will lay it out for you every day. There are apps that will set reminders. It'll send you emails. You can sign up for things that will email you every morning. There's notification. Man, there's so much out there. And dear friend, if we're in a state in a world where we don't know what we can trust, and we're looking to masks, or we're looking to policies, or we're looking to all kinds of different things, it's not my goal to undermine those. I'm just saying, if we're looking, going, man, what can I trust? We need a firm foundation, and that is found in the Word of God, and it's found in God Himself. But friend, you can't get to know God apart from the Word of God. You say, man, I want a closer walk with God. I want to know God more. I want to know more about Him. And then, dear friend, pick up the Bible and allow God to speak to you. So I don't know if God speaks. He speaks through His Word. If you want Him to speak out loud, read it out loud. Some of us are struggling. Strong, born-again believers walking with the Lord for quite a long time. And we're struggling because we're picking up devices and social media more than we're picking up the Word. And so, challenges to you. If you're not in a regular reading plan, day in and day out, find one. Get one. Let me help you or encourage you. You don't have to wait till January 1. It's not the only time you can start a Bible reading plan. Those of you that are younger, children in the room, man, find something you can read. There's all kinds of translations out there. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, help them. Establish that. Man, what better habit could we establish in the life of our kids and to teach them to try to read the Bible every day? Nothing that I know of. And then finally, I've spent most of my time talking to Christians. There may be some in this room going, Brother Chris, I'm struggling with trust. And if I'm honest with you, I've just struggled with whether I can really trust God or not. God sent His one and only Son, the very best gift He could ever give. He sent Him to come here to live His life, to take on my sin and your sin, to die a criminal's death, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, only to raise from the dead, ascend to heaven, to offer salvation to you freely. I believe that's a God we can trust. And if we can trust Him, then we can trust His Son. And today would be a wonderful day for you to go, fine, I'm finally throwing in the towel. I'm waving the white flag. I'm surrendering all to Jesus. Some of you need to accept Jesus as Lord and Master and Savior of your life. You need to call out on Him for salvation and go, here I am. Here I am, Lord, save me. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. We're going to have an invitation for that in just a moment, but for some of you, maybe even some of your believers, gotten away from His Word, and maybe not as close to Him as you once were, you need to declare this morning, God, I trust You. I trust Your Word. I want to know Your Word more. I want to get into Your Word more. Help me. Let's pray. God, I love You and thank You for all things. God, I pray for any who are here that, God, they've been battling whether they can trust you or not, whether they can trust your Son for salvation. God, I pray, Lord, would you save them this morning? Give them grace to call out on you right now for salvation. And if that's you this morning, you simply pray right where you're at. God, by an act of my will, I trust you. And this morning, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Make me clean. Help me to live for you. Jesus, I want you to be my boss. Give it all to you. God, I pray in these next few moments as we respond to you, both believers and non-believers, God, maybe those who just pray and ask you to save them, God, I pray as we'd respond to you that, God, you be glorified and move, speak to our heart. God, that as we leave this place, there would be a deeper sense of trust in you and in your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. May you remain in an attitude of prayer. God spoke to your heart this morning and you want to come and pray. Just heavy on your heart. Maybe there's some things you want to pray for or pray about. You can pray right where you're at. You're welcome to come up here and kneel at the front here and just spend some time praying as God has spoke to your heart. Maybe you just need to pray for your neighbor. Maybe you know somebody's really struggling with trust. Trusting God. Pray for them. God, we thank you for your word. Your love toward us. Thank you that we can trust you. And Lord, I pray that God, we just surrender everything to you. And that God, we wouldn't be driven by the waves of the unrest in our nation or in our world. But God, we'd be held firm by the constant of your word, your love toward us. We love you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing time, under your wings I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all other names. To the valley for my soul, thy great descent has made me whole. Your word my heart has welcomed home. Now peace like one. the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all other names. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all other names. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, yours is the glory forever.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, full in power and in grace, the name above all other names, the name above all other names.
Who takes care of the children when the world is in crisis? For more than 45,000 consecutive days, Arkansas Baptist Children's Homes and Family Ministries has been caring for children in need of family. This would not be possible in this difficult season if it was not for the love of Arkansas Baptist. Thank you, Arkansas Baptist, for loving Arkansas families.
Thank you to the churches of Arkansas who have never wavered in your support to minister to the children and families of Arkansas.
I want to thank you for your generous support of Living Well Counseling.
Our family would just like to say thank you to Arkansas Baptist Ministry for their prayers and support along this journey.
I want to say thank you for saying yes.
I want to say thank you for how much we appreciate all that you do to support us through our foster parent endeavor.
Thank you, Arkansas Baptist, for your unwavering support.
And just want to thank you guys so much for doing your part to help us serve these families.
We just want to say a big thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you for your prayers, love, and support for the Arkansas Baptist Ranch.
Thank you, Arkansas Baptist, for giving and providing me and my children a safe place to live.
We thank you so much for your support and all your help.
From all of us here at Connected Foster Care, just want you to know we couldn't do this without you.
Thank you so much.
I'm thankful that the Baptist Home allows me to carry out my purpose in this ministry while embracing my passion for working with children and their families.
Thank you for your prayers, for your encouragement, and for your support.
Thank you for making a difference in the lives of hurting children. And most of all, thank you for your prayers.
Thank you, Arkansas Baptist, for being a place that not only talks about the love of Jesus, but being a place that shows it to families across the state of Arkansas.
I am so thankful for how you have made it possible for us to build, strengthen, and restore Arkansas families for the glory of God.
I truly appreciate all the love and support and prayer that you send that helps us help Arkansas families.
On behalf of the vulnerable children and families in this state, and the employees and volunteers who care for them, thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Well, this morning we are going to, as part of our offering, take up offering to support Arkansas Baptist Children's Home. Now, let me give you some directions. If you, we're just doing one offering as you go out. So in just a moment, some of our men will go and serve as ushers at the door with the offering plates as you depart. Anything that is not indicated towards Arkansas Baptist Children's Home or has specific directions, it just goes to our general fund. So if you want to give toward the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home, you can do so. Use one of those pink envelopes and then jot down ABCH on that if you want to give toward that. Just please indicate if you want, if you want to give in such a way to support Arkansas Baptist Children's Home, just make sure that's clear and we know that on that envelope so that they can, we make sure to get that to the right place as you desire. So, just be aware of that, okay? We are going to pray, and as we dismiss in just a few moments, you can give your regular tithes and offerings and toward the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home all at the same time as you leave. I just want you to know how much we appreciate, how thankful we are for your generosity, the way that you give, the way that you've given toward our Thanksgiving boxes, and we'll be able to update you more on that later, probably next Sunday. We'll give some more information toward that. But just thank you so much, and continue to pray the Lord would touch folks' hearts to give. We can continue to do the work and the ministry that God has called us to here at Second Baptist. So if you're a guest, thank you for being here. Appreciate you, whether you joined us online or here in person. And let me pray. Join us at 4 o'clock if you want to go out with us and pray and go, or be back with us next Sunday. There are no Wednesday night activities on campus this week. No Wednesday night activities happening. Just enjoy the time with your family as best you can, safely as you can. So let me pray. God, you're gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the work and ministry that's happening with Arkansas Baptist Children's Home and all that they do with foster care and counseling and so on and so forth. I pray, God, you'd bless them and provide. I pray, God, as we give, that, Lord, we give unto you and be with each person that's here or online. Bless them and their families. Help us to be a witness for you this week. We love and adore you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.